This is a Career Channel program from UC San Diego Extension. Visit us at www.uctv.tv/careers for videos, employment news, and trend articles to help recent college graduates and grads in career transition bridge to better employment.
Hi, welcome to Career Talk. I'm your host, Henry DeVries, Assistant Dean for UC San Diego Extension and a career columnist for UT San Diego. Here is how you, as an audience member, can participate in the show. Feel free to type in your questions, and we'll address them toward the end of the program. Today on this episode of Career Talk, we visit with Camille Saltman, president of MD Revolution. MD Revolution integrates genetics, metabolics, and traditional medicine to develop a personalized health plan with proven outcomes. Camille provides strategic direction and oversight of all business development and operational activity, and helps formulate and drive key business strategies across all areas of the business. Camille was previously president of Connect and continues to be a member of Connect's board of directors. Over Camille's 6 years with Connect, she rebuilt the organization's world-renowned Springboard program, established the Look Near First initiative to keep outsourcing and manufacturing in San Diego, an initiative recognized with the Clinton Global Initiative, and co-founded the Wireless Life Sciences Alliance, CleanTech San Diego, which was ranked one of the top 10 clean tech cluster organizations in the U.S., and even started a San Diego Sports Innovators Cluster headed by NBA legend Bill Walton. Camille, it's so great to have you here today.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Henry. Thank you for inviting me onto the show.
Well, it's so great. Now, over your 30-year career, you've held just a wide variety of leadership roles in healthcare, wireless, advertising, financial services. I think you're going to have some great career information. Why don't we just jump into that? Let's start with MD Revolution. I think we're all curious, is how does MD Revolution help people?
Well, for many years, we've been in the business of disease care, even though we call it health care.
Okay.
So when you go to the doctor's office or you go to the emergency room, you're generally going with some kind of illness that needs to be treated versus going to learn about how you can avoid illnesses and chronic disease over the course of your life. So MD Revolution is bringing together all the modern tools, digital tools, genomic tools, biometric tools, and scales and techniques for measuring your cardiovascular fitness in order to predict what you might be at risk of over your lifetime in terms of chronic disease, and what's unique to your body, you know, the gifts that you have, as well as potential pitfalls. We then develop a very customized, personalized program for you to help you optimize your health and fitness and live longer and a more vital and energetic life.
It sounds like that old commercial with the auto mechanic and the oil change, that you can pay me now or you can pay me later. Is it should we be investing in our health up front?
You are bang on. About 75% of the healthcare budget that we have now is spent on preventable diseases. So our healthcare system is going bankrupt, and we could actually cut costs radically if we helped people to stay healthy. And, you know, there's no pill for prevention of chronic disease. It's really about nutrition and fitness. It's about lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So, you know, all the research that we're doing right now is really going into helping people manage chronic disease, survive it, but it's not going to cure it.
So you're part of the MD Revolution, is part of the whole digital revolution and part of the healthcare revolution. So is that right? You're at the intersection of these two major trends.
Absolutely. We're really building an ecosystem of all of these different technologies and innovations. Genomics, biometrics, the technology that's being developed to look into your body and determine your muscle mass, your fat mass, your visceral fat around your organs, the technology that enables people to monitor 24 hours a day potential arrhythmias, or to keep their blood glucose at a level that's healthy. We're really bringing it all together and developing a software platform to allow it all to talk to each other.
So why San Diego? Is this region special for this? Is there trends that are happening here why this is happening in our area?
I love that you asked that question. I have, with our CEO, spent a great deal of time in the Bay Area and other regions of the country, and at some major meetings like the Consumer Electronics Show and mHealth. And what we've discovered that is very unique about San Diego is here we're focusing on solutions and platforms rather than on widgets and gadgets. Mm. Here we're really looking at what the problems are and developing systems to solve them rather than coming up with a vibrating fork and trying to find a solution for the vibrating fork.
Mm-hmm. Somebody must need a vibrating fork.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Our chief operating officer asked the company at CES what their outcomes, their clinical outcomes were going to be, and they said they had come to CES, and we're hoping to figure that out at the show.
Okay. Well, let's talk about this is creating jobs, and many different kinds of jobs. What are some of the jobs that are being created from this revolution?
It's such a rich field. It's really everything from highly technical jobs like software, mechanical engineering, through to people who develop games, because games are a way of engaging people in challenges towards more steps or more stairs or going farther, going faster, going longer. Social media, people engaging with their friends for some friendly competition and sharing results. It's nurses, nurse practitioners, nutritionists, personal trainers, all helping coach people to improve their health and fitness. Those folks in the healthcare field are becoming more important than physicians in many ways, because prevention, you know, the physician is really about treating the disease. These folks can help people prevent disease and avoid the doctor's office or the hospital. There are also opportunities for graphic designers, because these apps and software interfaces and devices like a Fitbit or devices like watches or heart rate monitors need to be very consumer friendly. The last thing you need is someone to sign up or download the app and then not be able to figure out how to use it. So that ease of interface is critical. The kind of thing that Apple has down so beautifully with their products. There's also opportunities for hospitals and physicians to really get into the business of wellness, keeping people in their homes longer, keeping people out of the hospital, really providing a big ongoing feedback loop of positive reinforcement so that people are motivated to stay healthy, and that's where they get the attention and that's where they get the touches. I think it's going to be an opportunity for many, many different careers.
And that's so interesting, because as you're talking, I'm thinking about all the programs that we have at UC San Diego Extension that touch all this, the digital arts program, mobile gaming, the healthcare programs, the training people in the fitness industry. So there's just a lot of opportunity that they might not be seeing.
Yes.
On the surface there. Okay, thanks.
Yes.
For sharing all that.
Yes.
Can we go to Connect for a minute? You had a great tenure at Connect, and you're still helping them on the board. I don't think a lot of people know what Connect really does. Would you mind spending a few minutes explaining Connect?
Absolutely. And I think it's important, if people are looking at developing their career, that they do check in and understand the opportunities Connect offers. Connect is a resource to the community. It's a not-for-profit, and it helps entrepreneurs, researchers, scientists, inventors to understand how to build a business and commercialize a product. everything from education to mentoring to capital programs to networking programs. They really offer a wide range of support services. In addition, part of being successful in bringing a discovery to market is understanding the political landscape, figuring out how to produce the product, developing the strategic partnerships with large companies that could help get it to market. So the organization also has a big policy effort based in Washington, D.C., and a manufacturing effort around really building our manufacturing capability and keeping it in America, and efforts to link companies like LG and Sony and Qualcomm to the smaller emerging companies so that they can accelerate their success.
I know at Connect you studied innovation in the region and the jobs that innovation was producing, especially in communications and wireless. And there was something you talked about, that there's a lot of jobs that go into a smartphone. Explain a little bit about that.
Well, it's interesting because, and I'll use, there's a company locally called EcoATM, and they are essentially the Coinstar of the iPhone or iPad business.
Okay.
So just like you take your coins to the grocery store and dump them in the Coinstar machine, when you're done with your old smartphone or your iPad and you want the next generation, you take them to the machine, and the machine gives you money back, and you go, you buy your new one. So that company builds the kiosks, and just like a smartphone, the kiosks have so many different components in them. So that company turns to a product development design company called DD Studio, and DD Studio does the actual interface and physical design of how you use the machine so that it's very easy and intuitive. That employs software designers and graphic designers and folks like that. And then EcoATM employs D&K Engineering to assemble the kiosks and manufacture them. And D&K Engineering, in turn, employs about 100 local suppliers for all the parts that go into the kiosk. And there again, you've got such a range of jobs and types of roles, everything from manufacturing of and tool and die right through to more sophisticated engineering type roles, electronics, artificial intelligence, et cetera, et cetera. So I used the word ecosystem before when talking about healthcare. I'd use it here again. Mm-hmm. It's an it's almost like a web of different skill sets and technologies and companies that have to come together to make one of these complex products a reality.
I really wanted to encourage the listeners that you should check out Connect. Connect has events. They have expos. And you might think, well, I'm not in software, or I am not in electronic manufacturing, so that's not for me. I'm not doing life sciences. But you're missing a big opportunity there, because they need all sorts of people to support them. They need all different professions. There are marketing people. There are accountants. There's just a host of people who go into this, and there are opportunities you might miss. Well, let's shift gears for a second here. I'd like to talk about your career, because you've had a successful one. What do you say is the biggest factor in your career success?
Well, you mentioned the range of types of roles that I've had in different industries over the years. I think that embracing change and embracing variety has been really important. It's helped me as the world has changed and pace of technology has changed faster and faster, and as the need to keep up with the convergence of different spaces has accelerated, it's helped me to stay on top of my game.
Okay. Now, what about role models? Because you haven't had a lot of female president role models to emulate, but but you've been president of two different companies. How did you inspire yourself along the way?
Interestingly, over the years, did have many women role models, and some of them were in Canada before I came here, and some have been here, including Gail Storzegill, who ran and built Storz Aziegas and Metzger.
My former boss.
And mine.
There you go. We could have a reunion in Qualcomm Stadium.
All the alums.
Yeah, from that company.
That's so
yeah.
true. I think the biggest chances to take on large new opportunities have come to me from women. And they have pushed me to take risks, work extremely hard, get into the details, you know, really get under the hood of each role, and to listen, and I think the most important thing is to accept that there's always a solution. It can be done. It's not that it can't be done or there's no way to fix it. If you really, really, you know, put your thinking cap on, potentially work as a team, you will figure out the answer, and that will keep you on top.
That's that can-do attitude. You know, the difference between the screw you and the can-do attitude makes a big difference.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh,
yes.
So you've done that.
I had a situation that really taught me that when I was working for Gail, actually, if you don't mind my little story. We were pitching La Costa Resort and Spa for their advertising work, and the morning before the pitch arrived, and their marketing director called and said, where are you? And we said, the pitch is tomorrow. And they said, no, it's this morning. And all of the management team from Asia are here, and they're all waiting for you. They're in the conference room right now. And my creative team was out doing a site visit in the middle of a dusty field that's now a big luxury development, but impossible to reach. It was before the cell phone was really as in use as it is now. The creative had not been printed yet, and in the nowadays you push a button and out come these glossy, gorgeous prints. In those days, you went down the street to the quick print shop,
and
several hours later, you had the color copies that you needed. The media planner hadn't finished the media plan yet, and that's a very mathematical process. And so we were not ready, and I, however, was not going to give up. So I had two challenges on my hands: how to figure out how to pull the team together, get the work done, and get there, and make the client feel like it was going to be worth their time. No worries.
Yeah, don't worry.
No worries.
So no pressure.
So managed to get various people on the team, gathering everyone together, someone up to the print shop, the media person — it took some major psychotherapy — but the media person working on finishing the media plan. And we went up in shifts. So I went up first with one of my team members and outlined the strategy in PowerPoint. And then the media person came up and presented the media plan.
So it was just in time presentation.
And then the creative people, I think they had to stop and buy clothes on the way because they were literally chinos and running shoes. The creative team showed up with the actual proofs that we had on the wall and a few additional printed items and presented the creative. And the client was so astounded that we had pulled it off. We were up against the top agency in town, that they gave us the business.
A happy ending. A Hollywood ending to the story. Yeah.
It was harrowing, but it was also incredibly exciting. Pulled the team together in a way that I could never have done in the course of a regular... They felt like they had climbed, Mount Kilimanjaro. They were so stoked by the whole experience. So when I say there's always a solution, that is, for me and my career, the example of that kind of of stick-to-itiveness.
Never give up, never surrender. Let's talk about career advice, because a lot of people come to you for career advice, and I'm interested in what's the career advice you give, and then the next question will be, what's the best career advice you ever received?
That's a good question. One of the mistakes that people make when they're in the private sector is to isolate themselves. They, over time, stop going to networking events like the events at Connect. They stop getting out and doing continuing education and learning about what's going on in their community. And they don't volunteer for not-for-profits, you know, arts or culture or whatever it is that they're personally interested in, and give their time. And when it's time for a change, whether that be a career change or there's a layoff or they're perhaps at a stage where they'd like to broaden their horizons, they have no network in order to help them do that. And they literally have to start from ground zero and start a process that normally takes a lifetime if it's a quality network. So I recommend to people that they really choose something that they are passionate about and that they can stick with no matter how busy they are, to get engaged in the community, and that they do have a business network across different industries that can help them to learn and stay on top of things and to spread the word when it's time for a change. It might be that they're interested in joining a board, or they need a new job, or they want to, you know, get a better job or a different job.
Harvey McKay calls it, dig your well before you're thirsty.
Ah, that's very wise.
Because when
yes.
you're thirsty, it's too late to dig the well.
Yes,
When the restructuring, resizing, right-sizing, downsizing, upsizing, outsourcing happens, need to be ready.
Right now I'm getting it with sequestration, people calling me who are being downsized, and they're talented people. And they might even be brought back to their companies if sequestration gets sorted out. But for now, they need a job. And they are literally starting from zero. And they'll say, well, Camille, you've got a great network. Can you help me? And you know, that's true. And if you called me, Henry, you have a great network, I'd be happy to help you. But if someone hasn't really put the time and energy into it, they've been self-indulgent and watching all their favorite movies and out, you know, spending time with their family, and I've been out trying to build my network, I don't really feel it's fair that they call me up and try to tap into my relationships.
Sounds like MD Revolution. You should have took care of your health before you got sick.
Yes. And I think that I've been given that kind of advice over time by various people, Gail included, people like Marco Thompson. Marco has the biggest network of anybody I've ever met. I don't know how he keeps it up.
Yes.
You know? I think about people like Mary Walshock. You know, the people I really admire have fabulous networks, often extending well beyond San Diego. And they actively cultivate those relationships. And as a result, they're able to create wonderful new initiatives and bring people together and change sometimes the economy or the course of San Diego's future.
So it's give before you get.
Mm-hmm.
We just have a few minutes remaining. We had some questions come in that I wanted to ask you, and they relate to MD Revolution. They were talking about behavioral change is difficult. Excuse me. Most people know that they should do something for better health, but applying what they know consistently is a stumbling block. So how does MD Revolution help make the difference with that?
That's a great question. MD Revolution has developed a dashboard or a software platform called RevUp, and it provides 24/7 visibility of all your activities, your genetics, your health, your results, and we provide feedback. So, for example, this morning I did interval training, and I did it on a DigiFit app with my smartphone, and it will upload to our software platform, and there will be a nutritionist or personal trainer who will look at that it's basically like a little chart,
right.
And they'll tell me what I should be doing differently or better. they're probably going to tell me that I got too high out of my zone four and I needed to take a little more time to cool down between the intervals, and I need to get my heart rate down faster than it is, and that kind of thing.
Right.
And that idea of someone caring and watching is very powerful. First of all, I want to see my data on the dashboard. I don't like seeing gaps. I really want it to be filled up, and I want to feel good about the progress. And I love that someone's watching and that they'll notice if I don't do it, if I don't hit my steps.
Accountability.
Accountability, yes.
Stepping on the scale at the Weight Watchers meeting, yes.
Well, but I want them to be proud of me, too. You know, it's interesting. I see people send their readings in, and they'll say, pretty good. I did that after 2 hours of surfing. And you think, before, when they did a workout after 2 hours of surfing, no one knew, no one cared. Now, someone does, and it's pushing them to do more.
Okay.
So it's a sort of feedback loop, motivational feedback loop that the platform creates and the relationship that's built.
There's another question I wanted to get in. It's what's covered by health care and insurance versus out-of-pocket? And also, I know you and I have talked about companies being interested in promoting this. Maybe you could share something on that.
Absolutely. On the corporate side, the software takes the program that we've developed and patented in our clinical lab, and it automates it. So each person has a customized program, and the software knows when you're off track, and it sends us an automated alert, and then our live person can reach out to you and get you back on track. So those automated alerts are what allow us to scale it for corporations. So it can still be highly personalized to each individual employee, but the alerts mean you don't have to go into every little app and check and see how they're doing. It all is automated in one big system in the cloud. In terms of your second question, I can't remember what it was,
Sure. I know you and I talked about companies.
Oh, it was insurance.
Insurance, yeah.
Right, yes, yes. Insurance covers the physician's visit, the first nutritionist visit, and two of the metabolic tests. In some cases, the genomic test is covered if people have severe chronic conditions, but most of the time it's not. So the insurance covers about a third of the program at this stage of the game.
Okay. And then I know companies are interested in this because getting people involved in this would reduce what they're paying for healthcare.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes. About 80% of employees in America have at least one risk factor for a chronic condition. And about 55 have two risk factors for a chronic condition. If an employee has a chronic condition, it can cost up to $6,000 an employee for an employer. And the chronic conditions that exist are consuming the bulk of medical benefit costs in corporations and also resulting in absenteeism and presenteeism, people being there but not being fully productive. So corporations are interested in bringing those costs down and getting, you know, that's one area on their balance sheet that they can really save some serious dollars on if they can implement a program that works.
Well, thank you so much. Let's invest in health and not disease. Let's do that.
Let's do it.
Thank you, Camille. It's been a pleasure chatting with you today. You've got so much to share. Thanks for a great episode of Career Talk. Join us again for our next show. That's going to be at 10:30 a.m. on May 16th. That's the third Wednesday of May. That's May 16th at 10:30 a.m. This is Henry DeVries. Until next time, wishing you career success.